For January the 2nd, 2015, we talk about the PSN outages, Super Smash Bros. Wii U, I guess is what you call that game, and Far Cry 4. Welcome to the 88th level.
My name is Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
My name is David Meismith.
And I'm Ben Merkel.
And you're listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. You're going to notice that we sound different tonight, that there's a different energy in the air. It's far more palpable because we are all in the same room and also recording into a tiny handheld Sony recorder.
And having palpitations.
We have the shock paddles ready just in case things get real.
Right now we're standing around like a small wooden table. It's sort of dimly lit. The light's flickering because there's
a fan.
Are we
on a date? Is this a date?
I feel like...
Cole just gave us beer.
I feel like Cole is about to tell us, yo, you might be wondering why I've asked you all to come here.
And you also might be wondering where the antidote is. So I apologize if the audio quality is not up to the usual standard that we offer, but it was more important to hang out than to set up gigantic microphones and such. But this is a good recorder, so I feel pretty good. Dennis, you kicked ass on the Christmas gifts, I have to
say. Yeah, I'm glad you guys like those.
Yeah, describe what you got us.
Framed kitschy cross stitches, done in the style that you would mostly see Bible verses in, only the verse is the episode title, and the citation is the actual numbered episode. So a little bit of home for you guys.
We should go around and say the title names. So Dennis found out about it, I think, 3 episodes ago when we did the Survey Monkey.
Even before, I sent you guys a text. It was when we had done Game of the Year stuff, and I was like, I knew yours. Yours was easy to get. because it was from last season, so it wasn't going to show up in Toady voting. but I had a couple, and I had a couple picked for you guys. And I picked the right ones. I picked the ones that you chose, but I panicked and checked anyway.
But that's why I'm being so grubby.
Jen, you want to join the podcast? If Luke is down, you want to podcast with us?
Sure.
All right. Woohoo!
That sounded calm. Yeah. No. So, are we gonna go around and say which ones we went with?
You were in the middle of.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
What was I in the middle of?
Oh, you were explaining.
Sorry,
like,
I've had
a couple
beers.
You guessed and then you guessed right. And then
I guessed right. Yeah, and so then I got the things.
Should I have secretly bought you one of those?
No, you're fine.
Did you
need
the set?
Which one would you have gotten me?
I don't know. Yeah. I knew the one that I was drunk on, but that was when it was under the riddle tree, whatever.
Yeah. It was on under the riddle tree.
It would have been just one word in a cross stitch.
Bowser sounds.
Yeah, Bowser sounds. I forgot about that.
How could you forget?
I don't know how I could forget.
How could you remember?
So I got,
I can't believe it's not people. I'm going to put it in my kitchen. So,
I got, you do need corpses to some extent. I'm excited because I'm TAing a course next term. So I really want that to be, like, on my desk the first thing any undergrads that come to ask me questions see.
And I got, forget it, Jake, it's just a turtle. Which was, oh my gosh, so good. I'm going to hang it in my bathroom, actually. So I see it every day.
Good.
And take notice of it every day. There's a reason. There's a rhyme, a reason, and a system for everything. You probably heard we have been joined by Jen.
Hello.
Yes. Who was kind enough to host us here.
That's a kick-ass lasagna.
Yes. Casa Furia. So.
I mean, podcasting, it really requires a substantive dinner ahead of time.
Yeah. Got a carb up.
Gotta make sure there's as much heavy cheese on the vocal cords as possible.
That's the secret to a good lasagna.
Yeah, I know. It's exactly.
Vocal cord cheese?
You didn't go heavy on the ricotta. For that, I appreciate it.
There was no ricotta.
Okay, cool.
It's cottage cheese.
That's fine. Yeah. I don't like a lot of the curds. Just give me the...
Just the way?
Hey, anybody? Just the way. How was everybody's Christmas?
Was good.
pretty damn spiffy.
Spiffy. I haven't heard anyone use the word spiffy in a very long time.
I'm bringing
you
back
a listener
spiffy.
To the podcast.
I only hear what drifts upstairs as Dennis is talking loudly. Yeah, so apparently Dennis is not the contributor of the word spiffy to the podcast.
He doesn't have enough spiff.
According to the transcripts, 90% is dated. And the other 10% is the echo from people's headphones. Nice. Cool. Well, we're going to do kind of a abbreviated episode because the night is still young, and we're going to be doing some multiplayer stuff. Literal multiplayer.
Yeah. Which is, if you're hearing about it now for the first time, you missed it. Sorry.
Yeah.
But I anticipate, like, you know, I like to stream stuff. I could see doing this in the future, so just keep your ear to the ground.
Definitely. So yeah, let's jump right into
The Brief,
where we talk about things that we've been looking at in the world of video game news. There we go. Good save, Cole. I don't have a story because there's been shit all
there's no news. Screen in front of me right now. I can't. Yeah. I have to look people in the
Does
eye.
Does that mean you cheat?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I cheat too.
Cheater, cheater.
It's usually even more cheat because usually at least two of us find the story while other people are finding the story.
Someone go first so I can search on my phone.
So for the brief, they can just go to polygon.com.
Jen, you got one prepared, I hear.
Jeez, that is unfair. That is unfair.
In case you didn't hear it, that was a death glare that I just gave my husband.
Yeah, normally you can't hear that, but for that one, I think you might.
There's an audible sound.
Yeah, weirdly, it's like an EMF kind of thing happening.
But I actually have a minor one. Sony, you know, has continued its perfect record for each new, you know, system they release. You know, they have to have PlayStation Network get hacked. So, you know, it was down all basically Christmas weekend, and I forget. It kind of looked like at first maybe people thought it was related to the whole pseudo North Korea thing, but then with some hacker group that's named after an animal.
Yeah, it's like Lizard Men or Lizard Folk or whatever, and then there's a white hat counter group who is furiously hacking against them, and everybody's taking credit for everything else.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, sucks to be in the middle, but I'm kind of happy to live in a world where there is a group of, like, cyber vigilantes trying to keep us safe.
I guess. Are they the hero we need or the hero we deserve? Watch Dogs 2. But the crazy part of that is, like, it went down on, like, Christmas Day, which it was going to anyway. Xbox Live went down on Christmas Day, too. Mm-hmm. Like, that...
Was Xbox not hacking-related? Because they took credit for everything.
Yeah, I think Xbox Live was like, oh, no, guys, totally the hacksaws. Not our servers, totally hacksaws.
Yeah. It's shitty because it went down on Christmas Day. Means that people who are not planning on working on Christmas Day were working on Christmas Day to fix it. I think...
Yeah.
I don't care if some 13-year-old doesn't get to play Destiny right away. But I do care that, you know, cost people time that they could have spent with their families, so.
Can I ask a question? Because I don't know if everyone is pretentious as my husband. Is everyone else here a PS3 snob?
No.
Four snob?
I'm a PS3 snob.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, no, you have to understand. We all.
Yeah. I'm actually the only one in this group that doesn't own a PS4.
Yeah, that's actually
that's the funny part.
Well, no, and contractually you can't. You have to buy an Xbox One.
That's I'll right. die first.
To round out the coverage.
Yeah.
That's what I'm asking is, you guys are talking about Xbox, but I'm pretty sure there's not a really good balance in
there. No.
No, I have a PS4 because of Bloodborne. I, you know, given unlimited funds, I would probably have all of them, you know?
Yeah, I'm...
Does anyone have a Wii U?
No, I would really like to have one, actually.
Okay. I wouldn't.
Yeah, I'm...
Because, again, my husband is pretentious when it comes to video games.
It's so good to have an outsider perspective on the show.
Not outside. Be nice to us. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I have a bias towards PlayStation, although I've owned both and have had both stolen. So.
Which one did you miss more?
Exactly.
I know. I think the constant is the thieves seem to be more consistently successful in stealing Xboxes. So I'm going with PS3s. It's kind of like driving a Reliant K, because that's the car that statistically is least likely to be carjacked. Or stolen or whatever.
Because it's Christian rock?
Well, you know.
The new Reliant K alarm system.
Jesus loves you! Jesus loves you!
That laugh was perfect.
It would be really demoralizing for a thief to be told that.
Maybe that's the moment he turns his life around.
It's a little last-minute conversion there.
And then he gets a lifetime movie.
Well, like, it's worthy to bring that up, because kind of along those lines, and even with the Sony and interview thing, there's like this big list of the most torrented television shows and movies out there, like this pseudo negative land version of the bestseller. Excuse me, didn't mean to burp. The pseudo negative land version of like the bestseller list, like what was most popular for people who didn't feel like paying for things.
Which strikes me as a little weird, because like at least on TV shows, because are there. Do any of the major networks not stream their stuff for free now?
Well, if you look at the most popular one for stealing was Game of Thrones. And HBO, even though they do stream, they're the most restrictive.
Okay,
that makes sense. But number two was Walking Dead, which also doesn't have a very good streaming option. So
you're talking about cable shows. Some people are poor and don't pay for cable.
Yeah.
Like
also, some
house.
People have plenty of money and don't pay for cable because they're too busy paying for Netflix, Hulu Plus.
Exactly.
I just like all the cable shows I like, by which I mean like superhero shows, because I
that's
don't
all
like.
There is now.
Yeah. Is those are all stream free, so I still don't pay for them and still watch them legally.
That wasn't me. Like, I didn't have anything to say about that. I think it's bad to steal things, but, you know, it's just one of those.
Do you feel that that's going to be your unpopular opinion for the year when
yes.
we get to the
yes.
Cody stealing is bad?
Stealing things is bad, yeah. People should probably be paid for the content they make.
That's a rather controversial.
Yeah.
But
also probably bad to take down networks, which as of yesterday, I think it was, as of this recording, I wasn't completely sure we'd be able to do any sort of multiplayer.
See, mine's still down.
Oh, because you're a PS4.
Well, I...
PS3 fanboy now.
No. PlayStation Vita fanboy, because that motherfucker lasted... I don't know why I paused it, because my wife is here. That motherfucker lasted the entire time, didn't get touched, so...
Huh.
I think it's just, you know, whenever something comes up, it doesn't come up across the board, and I'm probably, you've got, sometimes contact exports, so I mean, it's nothing major, but mine's still down.
Yeah, I had a terrible situation. I got the Blu-ray box set of Twin Peaks.
That is a terrible situation.
I love it. It's great. Yeah. No, but apparently, so PS4, pretty good video game system. Shitty Blu-ray player, because do you know what you have to do before you can put a Blu-ray in it and play it? You have to download an update.
Oh, no.
Like, to get the verification. So all I want to do is watch some dead girl wrapped in plastic. And, and I get a little bloop. You need to connect to the network. Can't connect to the network. I'm sorry. This gift that your mom bought you, you can't enjoy it. Neener, neener, neener. Those
Wait,
are the
can
exact
we talk
words.
About the fact that your mom bought you a dead girl wrapped in plastic?
Yours doesn't. it's a Twin Peaks joke.
I they don't actually ship like anything on the disc anymore. They're just blank, and the entire thing is a day one update, right? I want to make sure we're all on the same page. That's what happens, right?
It's a webcam inside. They see the label of the disc. It sends over to a dude in Sony headquarters. He whispers into an intricate series of pipes that amplifies it, and then the people shovel the video in, and then it gets sent out to you.
There's a little man inside your TV, right? They act everything.
Well, it's important to realize, though he's shouting into a series of pipes and tubes, he is not shouting for them to load up a truck.
True. Huh. Is that not Ray Stevenson? He's the musician. I always forget the extremely powerful person who
Who said that?
Yeah,
he's dead now.
Yeah, he dead.
You don't say his name
so powerful, then.
Yeah, he
can't speak his name.
Yeah, he died like every Alaska senator in a plane crash.
it's a long-standing tradition.
Look it up. I was about to say it's like an Eskimo funeral, but any other news stories? Because I ain't got shit.
I had to interact with you guys instead of furiously Googling, so.
Yeah, we're all standing around this table.
Why are you all standing?
I started it. I opted to stand because I stand while we record anyway.
See, and I'm taking a stand against...
standing?
A stand against peer pressure by sitting.
You stood at first, but then you chickened out.
Yeah.
Ooh. I don't mean to call you out.
Sorry. Me doing the...
You have to say we got a badass here.
Yeah. Me doing that jester... I cannot pronounce that word. I'm sorry.
Jester?
The grind. We are going to skip the multiplayer this week because of our strange circumstances as we record. We're going to go right to the grind where we talk about the games we've been playing over the past, 2 weeks now, right? Because last week was holiday or something like that. So let me kind of throw off to the group. There's an awful lot happening in this room right now. I'm going to choose to avoid bringing up. Sam, I see you, Ben. What you been playing?
So, we talked earlier about nobody being interested in the Wii U. I got to play the Wii U this past week. And more importantly, I got to play Super Smash Brothers, the new Super Smash Brothers for the Wii U.
Of course.
So, it was pretty awesome. I was impressed by it.
How many players?
It was at a Christmas party, so there were 8 players. So,
right.
We were in full capacity. The only thing is, we had a child playing, so we kept it on time instead of stock.
Right.
So, we were being, kind of friendly with the gameplay, so that was fine. But no, it was a lot of fun. First impression is it seems like the new characters are slightly overpowered.
Duck Hunt Dog and what else?
Yeah, so some of the new characters, there's Pac-Man, he's the only exception. He doesn't seem that great. But
he probably makes a wah-wah sound a lot.
Yeah, the charming thing is his over-A move. He waka-wakas the people that he's attacking.
Huh.
And
does he turn into classic Pac-Man when he does that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like a 2D.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is he normally 3D?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's actually really awesome.
And he's similar to Olimar, where his moves are he throws ghosts out on either direction instead of Pikmin. So, he's not that interesting, though. He didn't seem to be that powered. But my favorite character is the Punch-Out, I think his name's Mike, maybe?
Little Mac, yeah.
Yeah,
Mike was the guy you're trying to punch
That's
out,
Mike Tyson.
Right?
Yeah.
They changed his last name.
Yeah, Mr. Dream.
Mike Dyson?
Somebody we went to high school with, who I'm sure doesn't listen, so...
He was going to sue us for using his name without copyright.
Cool dude. But continue.
So it's Lil Mac from Punch-Out.
Uh-huh.
He's really awesome. His neutral A move, when you jam it, you just punch somebody like a whole lot, and they can't get out of it, and it was pretty satisfying.
A fighting game where you actually fight?
Yeah.
What? It's impossible.
Or even crazier, a fighting game that actually has a fighter in it.
Somebody who's born to fight, yeah.
Yeah, he's got the fight in him.
And then Mega Man was pretty good. And then there's Duck Hunt. The funniest... Well, I don't know whether or not to include this joke or not. But the funniest thing about Duck Hunt is if you just select the name over and over again, there's a joke there. So just try that out. You'll figure it out.
Perfect.
But Duck Hunt was super overpowered, though. It's like the dog from the video game with the bird. And basically a lot of their attacks...
What else was there?
For the new characters?
There's a dog.
There was a dog, there was a bird, and there was a tree.
There's an implied gunman.
Does a tree make an appearance?
No.
Yeah, there's the lone gunman on the grassy knoll.
Yeah, that's what a lot of there is. There's just gunshot reticles will appear, and then it gets, shot.
Really?
There. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So,
yeah.
So that's a one-up on the Ice Climbers, where there's three implied characters as opposed to...
What do you mean? There's three for Ice Climbers?
Yeah. Well, no. There's two of the Ice Climbers, and then there's Dog, Duck, and Gunman.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'm getting metatextual here, so.
No, that's fine.
So is the taunt for the dog him, like, doing the laugh thing? Because that would be totally appropriate.
That would be appropriate. I'm not sure. I didn't go through all the taunts.
It can't be anything else. Like, that's the only thing it can be.
But, and there's one move where he, like, throws a can, and, like, you have to, like, juggle it, and it explodes over. Yeah. But, yeah, that seemed to be a cool character. But otherwise, it's a lot of standard characters. Mm-hmm. They took out Ice Climbers. So that's not in this one. And I think the rationale was they didn't want to have 16 characters on the screen.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Duck Hunt seems to be two characters, so I don't know.
I think that the rationale for the Ice Climbers was that it was running very poorly on the 3DS version, and they wanted to retain parity between the two of them.
Oh, okay.
Can you play it across the two?
I don't know if you can play across them, but they want them to be as similar as possible.
I also feel like, at least it seems to me, kind of the core of the game is kind of to do cool video game matchups. And as cool as the characters were, like, no one cares about, like, Ice Climbers as, like, video game characters outside of Smash Bros.
I assume they were from a video game called Ice Climbers.
Yes, it was like an arcade game, right?
Yeah, it was like one of Nintendo's, like, early 80s ventures. Like, it would be the same as if they said, and a new challenger appears, Balloon Boy, or whatever his name was. Yeah. I'm sure it wasn't Balloon Boy.
It's like Polygon Man as the final boss in PlayStation All-Stars.
So. Right. Wow. Okay.
Who?
That's the dumb party fighting game that I know.
So. Okay. Cool. I have to tell you that every time you bring up the PlayStation fighters, it sounds like the Soviet equivalent. Yes, it's video game fights.
We do that thing. I have that. It's totally the same.
I'm sure it's a perfectly fine game, but like every time you do, it's like whenever a British person brings up like their weird.
Version of The Office, the novel.
It's okay, I can beat him in either version of the fighting game, so.
This is true.
Yeah, I was bummed. They did take out Snake from the new Smash Bros.
Really? That's kind of unfortunate. Especially because.
In the first place? Did he just sneak in?
It's especially because my understanding, at least, actually this week stumbled into the. Smash Bros. Wiki, and that's like a bottomless pit from which no light can escape, like reading all the like in-depth things. But apparently his character was all based on like the grab attack, which sounds really awesome, like as a mechanic, so that's kind of too bad they took him out.
Yeah.
Tell me about the stages, because in all the people talking about this, I have not heard anybody talk about how the actual field of play is improved
or
different.
All Final Destination.
Yeah, because why would you play on anything else?
God damn it. You guys know exactly how to make me angry. I'm serious. No. Like, is it...
Yeah, I honestly don't remember a lot of the stages. Like, they weren't that impactful. There was one where I think it might have been a WarioWare game, maybe, like, was the setting. But it was essentially, like, Final Destination, where it was just platform,
But that'd be cool if, like, if it was a WarioWare game and they changed it.
Oh,
like, every couple of beats, it gives you
they already did that, I think, in the Wii Brawl version.
Oh yeah,
and that one was cool too, because what it would do is it would say like jump or something like that, and characters had to do that action, and the ones who did would get an upgrade, and the ones who didn't would get like something detrimental happen to them.
So that's like awesome. So like every cool idea I have, it's not actually an idea; it's just a thing I remembered but forgot.
Yeah,
what was it? Power Stones has done it all before.
Power Stones. Was awesome.
Why do you pluralize that?
Was there only one?
It just won.
Wait, wasn't the title, though? Because there are multiple Power Stones.
Well, yeah, the title was Power Stone.
So it was awesome. Power Stones is... not how grammar work.
No, that's not how grammar work at all.
The level of podcast for people who love grammar.
Sorry, no, I just... As we established with the bros debacle. This one, it's like a Wikipedia away, but it's more fun if I don't look it up. I'm pretty sure Power Stone isn't pluralized.
That would be the cause of the level schism, is the pronunciation of B-R-O-S.
Yeah, get this, listeners. Earlier, Dennis dropped a venture bros on me. I don't mean to be a cock about this.
Are you saying you should...
That's the only way he ever says brothers, though.
Yeah.
When he talks about his brothers in flesh, the bros. Yeah,
the bros.
Which he's not a frat boy,
right.
Listeners.
No, that's... I understand.
I'm probably the closest thing this show has to a frat boy, though, looking around the group.
I mean, you are technically... We're technically
fraternity. That's right, yeah.
Business major.
Maybe I'm the most frat. I don't know.
I mean, if we're talking
maybe I'm the most frat.
And frat relativity.
I mean, I'm the frat relative Continuum. But no, wait, are you saying you should say brothers or you should say bro?
I'm saying the S is silent.
Like I saw I saw a Venture Bro cartoon.
No, Venture Brothers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, you're wrong.
wait, but so for Broforce, would you maintain that is brother.
Yeah, that doesn't end in an S dot.
Fist pound. Oh wait, I am the most bro.
Okay, wait. but the sequel was the Expendables Bros. So you would establish that should be the Expendables Brothers.
I'm pretty sure if we look at the way that is stylized, there is no dot at the end of Expendables Bros. Okay, so therefore it is meant to be the word bros, not an abbreviation of the word brothers, which every other human besides you says.
No, did we do a Survey Monkey on this? Lots of other humans.
Did we just have a grammar lesson in a podcast?
Oh yeah. To be fair, I think I've always pronounced it Venture Bros.
Yeah, you'll be lucky. That's the only grammar lesson in this episode.
No longer standing.
Poor Cole.
I just collapsed, defeated into a couch.
So getting slightly back on top.
No, I have a joke about this. Okay, go. No, I just imagine that the Expendables Brothers is the Expendables Bros. Only it's just in sepia tone. Okay, continue. No, that's all.
Well, golly gee, church, Christmas, we gotta take out this terrorist.
Terrorist.
Taking us back on the topic.
Oh. Just in terms of, like, stages, alpha stages, do you guys remember Pokemon Floats from, was it Melee?
Yeah, I do remember that one.
Yeah.
I'm, like, the inverse Smash Brothers fanboy because I played Melee the least.
Okay.
So I never played that. I never played that stage.
It's basically, like, it's vaguely in the clouds, and there's, like, giant, like, Pokemon, but it's not, like, giant living Pokemon, it's just, like...
Giant dead Pokemon?
No. The end of Batman, but with Pokemon.
Yeah. Carcassai? Is that what happens to Carcassai?
Yes, they float.
Is that what that board game's about?
You do, in fact, need Pokemon carcasses to some extent. No, like, just, like, giant... Pokemon-shaped platforms that just kind of floating around in the entire...
Oh, it was the Macy's Day Parade.
Yeah. Basically. And the stage, like, it's moving camera, the camera's constantly moving, so you have to jump.
Yeah.
But it makes no sense, and it's the worst level ever.
Huh.
And the floats will interact with you, like, some will shoot fire, I think, and...
That's cool.
There's, like, a slowpoke tail that unfolds so that you can get to being on camera and stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
But it unfolds slowly.
Yes. Yeah. So the new Smash was fun. I think I'll probably play it before I head home. So,
what were you playing it on? Like, what controller was?
I think it was a GameCube controller, so it was a traditional controller.
Nice.
But what's cool is one person was playing on the Wii U, like, controller proper, and so they could just look at the screen on the controller and play off of that, you know? So that helps for seating arrangements around the TV when you have 8 players, so...
Man, that's crazy. I couldn't even imagine how to fit, like, 8 people in my living room.
Yeah.
Like, so, I mean, just along those lines, was it hard to keep track of where you were, or...?
Not too much. There's a few times where you could lose your character, but everyone customized their name, because it's pretty easy to do that while you're playing, and so it's pretty easy to follow where you are.
You just have, like, an arrow over your head with your name the whole time?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't think it's one of those things where it's not obvious, so it's not, like, in the way.
Yeah, it's...
I don't know if they conditionally turn it on or not.
It's not obvious, but it's apparent.
Yeah.
And it's almost one of those things, like, not to be the, like, I realize this sounds dumb, but it's like you stop seeing it. Once you get into the game, that just becomes that's part of the backdrop.
Yeah, it's like your nose, your glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, so it's cool. I played a little bit of, if there are no more questions.
No. I am satisfied.
I played a little bit more of Dragon Age Inquisition, but kind of same thing going on, just questing, sending people out.
Are you still enjoying it, or is this a Watch Dogs situation?
No, it's not bad. It's, you know, from the beginning, it's a BioWare RPG, so it's just long, you know, so...
This is Damnation by Weak Praise the game.
No, it's not bad. I'll say if a game is bad, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
But, yeah, so it's just long, though. So mm-hmm. there's, like, a lot of things you have to do. So,
yeah.
What are you so doing would right you now? Say you...
So Dennis just asked what he's doing right now.
So, sending people out to do missions, taking over a desert region that has a canyon in it.
Yeah. So when you say you're sending people out to do missions, this is the game, if I recall, where it proceeds in real time. So, like, it's hourly, so you can check back in and send yeah. people out.
Yeah. So there's, like, a kind of, like, a mini mechanic in it where it's the Inquisition, mm-hmm. where it's, like, your set of three different advisors.
Yeah.
And you can look at the world map and, like, look at different areas. And as you explore areas of the map, it'll come up. There might be, like, problems that come up. Like, one example is, like, you go to one spot of the map and there's a bunch of, like, toxic gases everywhere. And so what you can do is you can, like, mark a flag there. And then it'll open up an objective where they need to build a bridge or construct a bridge there to get past. So you have to go back to the Inquisition.
So like we need to do with Detroit.
sure, I don't know. but so what you can do is you can go back to the Inquisition, have one of your advisors take on this mission, but it takes like, you know, a day of real time or something like that. The time will vary.
You said the Inquisition like it's a place, not a thing.
It's like, the Inquisition is what they call your group. And so it's like...
it's your collective.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's pretty unexpected. So, yeah, I want to call it right now. I think the whole, like, real-time, like, sending out your troops to do things, I think that's going to be this year's video game fad.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because World of Warcraft just implemented that.
Oh, okay.
Oh, with the Draenor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, in Assassin's Creed, it's had that forever.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, but, like, in a more... That was, like, pinned to gameplay, right? I liked it, but I only remember it going.
It might have been pinned to gameplay. So I don't know.
I mean, like, I could see this being a thing where they would roll that into a mobile app, like sign in to your Dragon Age Inquisition Keeper, you know, your attendant, so you can send people out. Because like I might actually get annoyed by logging into my PS4 like before work, so I can have have people optimize ready.
It. Aren't you guys describing Farmville?
Yes, that's yes. exactly. like the energy. That is a very apt comparison, Jen.
I saw through the bullshit, man.
Yep.
So, I mean, the good thing about the mechanic is it kind of gives more relevance to what the institution you're working for is, you know. Mm-hmm. So it kind of like shows the you know, like power they have or what they can do. But the having it a time time length attached to every action feels like an arbitrary wall, though. Yeah. So that's kind of one thing that's upsetting about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm really kind of disappointed, though, that it's, you know, called Inquisition, you're in the Inquisition, but there's no, like, torturing people or burning heretics or something like that. And I'm sort of joking, but also, like, I'm kind of disappointed because that would kind of be an interesting, you know, that could actually result in more choices that didn't suck.
No, yeah. So there is a judgment mechanic in it. Where,
oh, really?
Yeah, where since you're the kind of the king of this thing, there is a mechanic there that scratches that itch.
Okay, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Scratches that torture itch?
Yeah.
I was
logs that back.
Yeah. It flays the skin from that desire. Yeah. I don't know. Like, this is like a 15-minute spoiler. So I'm going to put it out here and everybody has that. Not like for the next 15 minutes into the game. Like, I was very satisfied with the way that they divorced the Inquisition from the actual chantry, like from the church.
Mm-hmm.
To, you know, because that actually, like, walking into it, I was like, well, I'm sympathetic to the mages in this meta, you know, struggle that they have across the entire series. I don't want to work for the church. But the way they broke that apart was actually pretty cool to me. And so I can see that playing into what David's saying about, like, you deciding which way you want to play it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not walking into this with an in-baked set of institutional values.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
BioWare does that really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, in Mass Effect 2, you're working for Cerberus, but you're kind of your own wing within that, so you don't have
not
to be, like...
Not necessarily willingly.
Well,
you're working for a demon dog?
And you can work against them, too.
Yeah. So... Yeah, I'm really excited. I need to get, like, further in my assignment play before I can really, like, bite into it. I think that that's something I need to, like, focus on.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you doing in Inquisition right now?
Oh, I'm literally... I got to the map where I looked at... I have a choice to go one way or another in terms of deploying people. And I was like, this is too much game for me right now. I need to put it away. So in Inquisition, I am literally just oh, the game opened up, so I'm going to put this away for now.
I can't take this responsibility, man. Why are you always asking me questions?
Yeah. I played far enough into it to talk about it on the Dork Night, okay, and that was it.
You've seen just enough of this game to panic.
A little bit, yeah. It's kind of like, oh, this actually would really benefit from undivided attention, which I cannot give it right now. It's like a child or a pet in that way.
Yeah, there's kind of a sweet spot for games for how long it takes for them to open up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Final Fantasy XIII is a corridor for the first 60 hours. Unacceptable.
Mm-hmm. 60 hours? Like, Jesus.
Well, for Final Fantasy, like, game, that's 20. Like the first third.
Okay.
But, I mean, you're probably right. But, I mean, so, you know, it's a corridor.
Wait, I love how in Final Fantasy, it's apparently relevant for Cole to say, 60 hours, I mean 20, is completely reasonable.
Yeah, to be fair, one of those numbers is three times bigger than the other.
Still, though, the fact that...
still a lot of hours.
It has zero on it, and that's intimidating.
Yep.
But, like, so, okay, that stays a quarter for way too long. And then some games, like you're talking about with Inquisition, it's just, like, immediately you can do anything. I think, actually, upon reflection, Saints Row 4... has this problem as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just kind of shut down because there's too much.
Is that the game you stole from Cole?
No! Okay.
It's the game that I gave to him in exchange for the game that he stole from me when I was drunk 3 years ago.
So it's...
advantage of your inebriated state.
Yeah, so it's not the game that Dennis stole from Cole, it's the game that Dennis extorted from Cole.
Yeah.
But there's, like, you need that... It's not a tutorial, it's just an area of relatively defined boundaries get your footing.
And I think that, sorry, this is now the podcast about Saints Row. I think that goes back to kind of what we're talking, Saints Row 4 is a sequel to Saints Row 3. Because Saints Row 3 was very much like, shit goes down, and then you get your team together, and that was very much once you get your team together, that's when it opens up, and it's kind of,
there's something to be said for enough restriction to make you want more, so that by the time you get it, you actually wanted what you got.
I feel like you guys need, like, an S&M safe word or something.
What?
What are you talking about?
These?
Sorry.
I'm not sure what to make of that.
Write it if you want the level to always have a peanut gallery.
Also, quick pseudo multiplayer, not multiplayer, whatever. What would the safe word be for the level?
Yeah, we should do a survey about the other one.
Yeah, yes, we probably should. It needs to be the thing we talk about the least. Might I propose video games?
I think that's it. Like, I can't argue with that.
So that's cool. Like, any... do you have, like, all your characters and stuff? Like, is everybody kind of rolled in yet?
Yeah, so I know some people will, like, rotate among the characters that they have, but typically I have the three people that I like, and one that I can replace whenever I get a better person of that class.
Yeah.
So I just roll with the same people every time. And just, right. Yeah. One of the complaints I have is, like, the item system. So this is one thing that I really appreciated about Destiny is the item mechanic, like upgrading your items to whatever the best one is. It was like a really simple process. It was quick. You didn't have to like worry about managing a couple different things, you know, or like, you know, rifling through all these items that you had. And the one nice thing too is really easy to break down the items that you had in Destiny, and you get rewards for that. So that was a great system. But like Dragon Age Inquisition, it's like kind of like a bear. You have to like you collect items for a couple hours, and then you're like, okay, I'll go through and figure out which one's the best like sword. Give it to my guy, and then I go to like a merchant and then sell everything else, and then I have to do the same thing again like every 2 hours.
Yeah.
So that's one annoying mechanic of the game. Yeah. But
it turns into accounting.
Yeah. You
would think in a world where you literally have alchemists, it would be easier to convert your items into gold.
Yeah.
So I need to pour a little bit of mercury on this, and we're all set. Neat.
So I'll keep going, trudging on.
Cool.
I've been doing a lot of exploration of all like the auxiliary like plots and the worlds and stuff.
Yeah.
But like once you get to a story mission, it's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess since I'm trying to be like a completionist on this, it's kind of
so. Are the side missions bad then? Or
it's not that they're bad. It's just kind of like It's, you know, like, the story missions are very concentrated gameplay. So, like, shit goes down, you know? So it's, like, really intense and really fun. But then, like, the side missions are just kind of, like...
Pick 30 willow flowers.
It's not completely dull, but it's definitely a slower pace gameplay than the story.
So, yeah. Yeah.
It can't be anything that has too much impact.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
I think that with the preponderance of open world games, you know, that are available right now, in general and in specific, the preponderance of open world games that are on my backlog, I really need to get used to being critical path Johnny. Mm-hmm. In terms of, like, I just need to follow the main path and then take diversions when they are kind of most tempting.
Yeah,
or as a means to level up when the critical path gets too.
Yeah,
intense.
like when it's obvious that, like, okay, I need to, like, stop here and take a breath and collect some thistleweed or whatever the fuck David said.
So are you now going to actually name your primary character Critical Path Johnny?
Well, you're trying to name this episode Critical Path Johnny, and I don't have my text file here, so I'm going to have to, like an animal, type it into my phone.
You do that, Cole. You type that in like an animal.
Safe word.
Jesus. Man.
Wait, are we just the most uncreative people ever? Our safe word is safe word.
Well, it's most efficient. Everybody knows what you're talking about.
Yeah.
There's no ambiguity.
Yeah.
It's safe.
Yeah. I don't like this, like, harsh insight that Jen's presence has brought to the nature of our conversation. I've been trying to avoid that for years. Cool.
So, I was going to say, so both of you have been playing Dragon Inquisition.
Not actively over the time that we've been on, you know, break.
Poison.
No segue available.
Can I speak as somebody who likes to see you living and breathing in the daily life? You're not allowed to play this game.
Forbidden.
I think you should speak as someone who's been playing stuff. What have you been playing over the past week?
Yeah, can you sidle up to the table for that?
What game did we play today?
What do you mean?
That was the most stressful thing I've ever done in my life.
Oh, Space Team! Holy shit! Yeah.
Dennis walks into the room and says, "Give me your phone!" And then he downloads an app and hands it to me and says, "Press go!" No idea what the crap I was about to do. And
which, to be fair, that's kind of the game.
Then he just started shouting things at me. And then we had the flipper phones, and then we had to turn them over, and there was a wormhole, and but I was awarded a medal for my heroism.
Yes, you were. How many sectors did we get through?
Seven.
Seven sectors. I don't know if that's good or not. We haven't played it.
How many sectors are there?
I don't know.
It has been on my phone for less than 12 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, this was... Who suggested that on the Facebook
group? I can look it up, but I'm too lazy. But it was a really good suggestion. Like, even with two players, I was really skeptical because
it comes with more players?
Yeah, I think you can do up to, like, four? It's great. So we're talking about Space Team.
Yeah.
If this isn't... I think we've talked about it, like, once before. I played it, like, with people from work.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
It's sort of like the...
Yeah, I mean, it's Techno Babble the game. It's exactly what you see on Star Trek.
It also feels like something that would be at some sort of lame work retreat to communication. Except somebody was like, "This is boring. Let's make them yell at each other instead," and made it go that fast.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of fun. Basically, you get a control panel on your phone, and you get an instruction on top for what to do. And what to do may or may not be on your control panel. So you just have to call out, like, "Hey, flip the phasers." And they're all, like, really complicated scientific-like
which
words.
Which I actually said wrong 80% of the time.
Oh, same here. Yeah, you never say them right, but it's...
Inverse the polarity. It's always inversing the polarity.
But, and then, you know, so it...
But we also boiled coffee at some point, I'm pretty sure.
And sold the stocks. And I'm pretty sure from screenshots, at some point you get to where it's just like symbols. So you're like, foot in water to four.
Yeah, we didn't make it that far.
Yeah, we didn't get that far, so maybe we didn't do too good. I don't know. But yeah, it's... And I thought, like, okay, so it's gonna... You'll have a real command of what's on your screen versus what's
false.
Yeah, you just don't, like... I think I screamed to her, like, sell the stocks 5 times before I realized it was on my screen. So it was, but it was intense, yeah. And it was fun, and yeah.
It made me sweat immediately.
Well, and the interface will work against you too, because like the nameplate on
they
your
flip,
on your ship
or they
will
fall
off,
or they get covered in goo.
Yep.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
When one of our viewers suggests this, I looked up, like, the Wikipedia, looked up some of the stuff. And one of the insights I really liked from one of the developers is that at no point in the instructions or anything does it say you should shout. It's just...
People just do it.
Yeah, it's just the fact... And, like, it's to the point where, like, they never intended it to be that way. Hmm. It was just they started, like... playtest it, and people start yelling at each other.
Yeah, there's a name for that. There's an effect, though. It even happens in nature when there's multiple people all, you know, kind of like vying for attention. You know, even just like if I was talking to Ben and Dennis was talking to David, we would all slowly one-up each other until we were all talking louder than, you know, than we
You mean like our podcast?
Yeah, don't we normally do that every
week?
Yeah.
It's just more apparent now that I can't mix everybody's level individually. yeah. I literally just knew the word for this, the name for that effect, 2 days ago, and now I feel like a fucking asshole, so I'm sorry.
Well, that you've forgotten it, not that you know.
Yes. Yeah.
I also feel like he's complaining about the editing he's going to have to do.
No, like, this is going to be... Well, I don't have my markers, so...
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, well. Yeah. But, Space Team, it's really fun.
It is fun, even with 2 people.
Yeah.
So, wait, and you've also been playing... Do you want to talk about Jewel Mania?
I can. I've been playing that for the last 3 years.
Jewel Mania. Is this a match 3 on iPhone? Okay.
Yes, but cool. It's better if you match 4 or 5, to be clear.
Yes, that's...
I know that you can go pretty far. On my first iPhone, I made it into the 300s, but I've had to restart every time I've gotten a new phone, which is kind of a problem, so I've made it up to 180 on my iPad.
Is this a pre-Candy Crush monetization standardization, or is there
a
post?
So I'm a purist in that I will not pay money to play games, which means that levels that I could very easily dominate if I gave them like 50 cents, I would rather do like 20 times until I get the right match of things. But it's kind of... I've never actually played Candy Crush. It's got the 5 levels that, like, you have to get 3 stars, and you can keep your levels, or 2 stars, but if you only pass it with 1 star or don't pass the level, you lose a life. And there's only 5 lives, and they're time-released. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there was a point in my life where I'm like, my levels are charged at work. I'm like, I'm going to play it at lunch, so that way when I leave work, it'll be recharged. I've gotten better.
Yeah. You're not habituated to it anymore.
No, but they've done a good job of introducing new challenges. Like, as you get further and further on, there's fire and ice and stone and, like, special... There's, like, snakes and all these kinds of crazy things.
The elemental plane of snakes.
Fire, ice, snake.
Well, snakes, why did it have to be
there's
snakes?
There's also wood and stone. So, yes, the snakes are obviously another...
Oh, yes. You know, wood... Fire, snakes, and so on in that fashion.
it's a very...
It's the wood!
Oh, it sticks, and then it's sticks that move around and bite you.
Yeah, sure.
Snakes, bitey sticks.
Yeah, violent belts.
But it's solid. It's held my attention for a while. I like puzzle games like that.
Yeah. So you said you haven't played Candy Crush. I've actually heard good things about Candy Crush Soda. But
there can be nothing good said about Candy Crush.
I don't like playing games that tell me I need to put it on Facebook and have other friends give me lives. Like, that also goes back to the Farmville thing. Mm-hmm. There were people I went to college with that set alarms to harvest strawberries at, like, 2 a.m. There's a problem with that.
I get Farmville and Candy Crush invites from my former high school, like, social studies teachers.
Ooh, that's
that's like how you get unfriended.
Yeah, it's like
easy way.
Oh, we're silently trying to open a beer, so this one will actually be more quiet than the other one. There you go. I'm just going to.
Can I throw out here just for titles, since we're on the record.
Okay,
Candy. Spidey belts is pretty awesome.
Wait, is one of the sides of these things a razor? Because I'm pretty sure I cut my thumb open.
No, I mean, one's a knife and one's a saw. But...
Says the person on blood thinners. Not a good joke to make with your
point
here.
But, and drinking alcohol, yeah.
Other than Spidey belts, I was going to talk Candy Crush monetization standardization.
That's what he was talking about.
Spidey belts.
Spidey belts.
Oh, we're still on the record. Like, that's not an edit. I was actually just drawing attention to the fact that Dennis wanted a beer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So,
this is actually a very roundabout intervention. We're trying to subtly point out.
We're trying to draw attention to your problem.
Santa Mara. It's really good, actually.
So. Yeah. I'm happy you like it. It's my favorite beer.
It's excellent.
Yeah. So, what's that called? Jewel something?
Jewel Mania.
Jewel Mania. Okay.
Yeah.
Neat.
Which is funny.
Dennis, much better than Jewel Depression.
Dennis had me play, what was it, the princess, the fat princess?
Fat princess.
Oh, they're match three?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A piece of cake.
So he had me play that because he wanted to get the code, which he like subtly was like, look, this is a match three game. If you make it to this level, we can get a free code. And then he just made me get the free code instead of playing through it. But every time he played it, he's like, this match three sucks. It just makes me want to play Jewel Mania. So he even likes it.
I do like it. Well, when I play match three, I'm like the Dos Equis guy. I don't always play match three games, but when I do,
I don't like. Am I like archaic? Am I a dinosaur for disliking Bejeweled 3?
I don't like puzzle games. So.
I wouldn't mind. I liked Bejeweled just fine. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like there's like timed levels and then there's puzzle levels. Uh-huh. And so sometimes you have to like dig a certain amount and sometimes you just have to go really fast. Yeah. So I like that it makes me use different parts of my brain. But Bejeweled is fine.
Yeah.
I think it's just I had to pay money for that. And I'm also cheap and don't like to pay money for games.
Yeah.
On my phone.
Whereas for me, I could make 20 sub $5 purchases before I made a single $100 purchase.
Wait a minute.
Economics are weird. Yep, it works out. Don't worry.
Okay. Yep. The same amount. I see what you did there.
Says the person getting his master's using his fingers to count.
Yeah. I'm a fucking clown. I just write cartoons. Like, how did I do that?
David, where did you get 100 fingers?
Yeah, I guess that's a more salient question.
It's made of Cthulhu.
Have you played anything else, Jen?
I don't think so. Have we played anything else?
Dennis, I will then throw it to you.
Yeah, I'll go. I fell down a Binding of Isaac hole.
Oh, nice.
Yes, and it is amazing.
It's fairly literal in that.
Yeah, yeah, that's very true. So,
I think the hole is the name of a level.
Yeah, if I have to describe what Binding of Isaac is, you're doing it wrong. So I've been playing Binding of Isaacs.
Was that the Bible game that you started playing?
The Bible game, yeah.
Yes, this is about religion.
Yes, very much. No, I think my favorite thing so far about the game is, like, I dabbled in the regular one, so Rebirth is the first time I've really, like, invested a bunch of time into the game. But it's just the crazy combinations you can get. And so my favorite so far was I got Azazel, which is like a laser breath type of guy, and then I got controlled tears, which normally if you have a regular shot, it allows you to just move it around the screen.
Mm-hmm.
With Azazel, it gives you a big circle of lasery death.
Yep. So it was Azazel and then the Ludovico technique, the one that
Exactly. And it was kick ass, but then I just on the perfect timing, unwittingly, stumbled into the unlimited boss rush mode.
Oh yeah,
after mom,
mm-hmm.
and spent like I had to be almost to the end of it, and when I did it, I had no idea what it was or why I was there, what was happening. Like, and that's the real fun of Binding of Isaac is there's so much depth. And none of it is explained.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're kind of just left to yourself to try to puzzle out why this thing happened and all that. So there's, you know, you could play it forever and never quite figure it out without a wiki.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to have gotten through at least like 9 or 10 rounds of boss rush with this like character. Because I'd gotten basically Azazel, I got the controlled tears, and then I got like 3 damage ups. On top of that, so it was like all damage ups other than those 2 upgrades.
Yeah.
So it was just like I hid in a corner and and killed things. They didn't even need to be on screen during the boss rush. I just kind of waggled my thumbstick, which is a great euphemism for masturbating.
Yes.
Anyway.
Jeez. A little direct there.
Safe word.
Safe word.
I'm just going to write that down as a title. That's come up enough. So you're playing this on your Vita, right?
Yeah, on the Vita, and it's
It's like when I was playing Super Paper Mario, and I kept on trying to do all the boss fights, and I made it like 80% of the way through and kept dying.
Yeah, exactly. Only you didn't know you were entering like a boss fight when you
I didn't
started. Yeah.
The first time, but then I wouldn't progress in the game because I was like, I'm gonna beat it, damn it, and then I just stopped playing it because I kept dying.
Yeah. So that's it's a ton of fun. Just to see the crazy combinations you get. I don't know if there's anything in Rebirth that is a complete, like, game-changing departure from the original. It's just more of the good stuff that was there to begin with.
Yeah. Hey, the stuff that is, that is actually a fundamental change to the game is, like, really not subtle because it's right there apparent, but the idea that you have rooms that are more than one unit wide.
That's true.
Like the long rooms, those tend to be a little bit more difficult, and you have the moving spike blocks that can.
I would disagree with that. I would say that the long rooms are easier because you have more room to maneuver. So every time in Isaac when I've died, it's because I haven't had the space to maneuver that I needed.
Mm-hmm.
And so the long rooms are just more space to work with. So I'm happy that they're there. And they do have more difficult enemies, but in the long run, especially if you're playing with Azazel, who can go anywhere, it's nice to have that extra space. So you're right, that is the big change, mm-hmm. but I don't know that makes the game harder, it just makes it different.
Yeah, it's a fundamental change, it's not like a massive change.
Yeah.
You can find the distinction between those two things.
Yeah. I've had a ton of fun with it, and intend to continue playing it. It's the perfect game for Vita, because you can pick it up for... a couple minutes at a time. I don't think the original had a continue function.
No.
Okay, this one does, and that's really nice.
Mm.
So that maybe that's the biggest addition. But yeah, Isaac is a ton of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then I played... What else have I played? More of a lot of stuff I've played a ton of. There was one other new thing, and I'm forgetting what it was, so... I'll come back to it in a second.
Do you want us to just wait?
everyone just stare. Yeah.
Go make yourself a pot of coffee.
Oh, duh. The Hitman games.
Oh, yeah. You've been streaming those, right?
Hitman games singular. by which I mean Hitman 2, which is the second Hitman, but is the first game in the Hitman trilogy.
I thought that was weird.
Yeah. So apparently the first Hitman was only for PC, and that's why it's that way.
Right.
The Hitman 2 is the first game... for PlayStation.
Mm-hmm. By which we mean the first game for the scrubs.
Of course. But apparently I read the wiki. It established like the formula for how Hitman games should be. Which is all well and good, and I had a lot of fun with it until I got to the level that required me to pick up a bomb.
The one where it's like the meeting and the... park, or like there's the...
No, the meeting in the park was awesome.
Wait, is that the sniper one?
No, the sniper one was awesome.
Did you ever snipe that guy? Did you ever smuggle the sniper rifle in?
First off, I'm horrible at first-person shooters, so this was tough. And Hitman 2 has an insane amount of waggle. Like just, random motion.
Yeah, like you're breathing.
Yeah, like you're
all about that waggle.
I'm all about that. No, it needs
to be once No. Safe word, no.
Safe word is spoonerism.
The safe word is no.
That's the worst safe word.
You're doing it wrong.
But anyway, on the mission, so it's like I want to say it's the second or third mission, where you have to snipe two generals that are meeting after you do the killing of the first general. I killed two people with one headshot. It was the best thing I've ever done. So like I took them both of them out with
did
one
anybody
bullet.
Witness this?
Yes, it was on Twitch, so it happened. I think a couple of people
go
were
back and highlight that shit.
Yeah, I need to.
I think Geolaw was in there, right?
Probably, yeah. So that was awesome. Followed by a mission where they like tell you in the briefing, like, hey, you use a bomb to get out through the subway. Well, I took the tact of kill everyone on my way in.
As you do.
So the normal way out was just fine, thank you very much. And I'd forgotten to pick up the bomb or the, and I didn't know this at the time, the bomb remote. which is a separate item, which is not when you go to like the stash pickup, you know, the cache or whatever you want to call it. It only shows you three items at a time. You have to scroll down to see more, but there's no real clear indicator that there's more than three items. You just have to scroll and guess. So first off, I went in, kill everyone on my way in, rescue the guy, and the guy's going to follow me out. Except the AI will not get on the elevator to go out the normal way. It demands that I blow a hole in the wall with the bomb to go out through the sewers. So
I demand you rescue me in style.
He's like, I was promised sewers?
So it's like Michael Douglas's The Game. Where, like, I paid for this, damn it.
Yeah.
You're gonna give me a show.
Or so, will you?
So I'm like, fine. I go back out. And by the way, the stash, the cache, is right in the middle of a bunch of guards.
That you didn't kill all that of?
I didn't kill those ones, because they were on a side path. On the main path, and I killed everyone. They're on this little side outlet. You go up through a sewer. It takes forever to get there. But if you just keep on walking, you know, you pick it up and no one notices. So I go back, and I pick up the bomb, and I go back to the sewer. Place the bomb, and can't detonate it.
And lots of people are watching you do this right now.
Well, God, you're too generous. Yeah, like one or two at a time. Yeah.
Enough people are watching you do
this. To mock
you.
The peanut gallery.
Hopefully
is
there'll be more
existence.
In the future, yeah. One or two awesome people who are totally ahead of their time are watching me do this.
Early adopters.
That's right, I'm the next PewDiePie. Believe it.
Wait, did you PewDiePie?
PewDiePie?
He's a dude.
PewDie, whatever.
He's on
yes.
South Park.
No, I know.
Did you say he's on South Park?
But you yeah, definitely said PewDiePie.
Okay, yeah. That's probably because I've been drinking. Anyway, so okay. I placed the bomb. I can't explode the bomb because I've left the bomb detonator in the cache that I didn't know was there until I went back. And that's the moment I decided I was done with Hitman 2.
Oh.
Yeah.
To be fair, Hitman 2
is awesome.
Yeah. No, there's definitely some weaknesses in the system.
So like, I will say it was good enough for me to try the sequel. And video games have that arc where like, well, movies do too. The second movie and the second video game tend to be better than the first.
Yeah.
Because they're able to build on their or learn from the first without getting a big head. And
Caddyshack 2, Airplane 2, yeah.
Sure, yeah.
Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah, there we go. That's one that got through. Mass Effect 2, Godfather 2.
Mass Effect 2, Uncharted 2.
Yeah.
I still refuse to acknowledge that Uncharted 3 exists. So I'll try the later games. I played Hitman 2. It was good for what it was
Wait,
for its time.
Did you play Uncharted 3 like 5 times?
No. Yeah.
I love that there's a Dennis fact checker on
it. Yeah. I played Uncharted 3 multiplayer was good, but the story campaign was bad.
That's the one we played that, right?
Yeah, we did.
That's the one where it's like grab bag, like the Mario Party approach to objective-based gameplay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think so, yeah. Anyway, that's what I've been playing.
I really enjoyed watching, though, your, like... The sniper mission was kind of where it got real, because you sort of on the first mission, you snuck a little ways and then just shot everyone.
Yeah, basically.
The sniper one was where it kind of got real.
One dude other than my target.
Yeah. I love the, just like early on figuring out the mechanics where like, You sneak, you get the guy's clothes, and then you, like, run out and get killed. It's like, oh, no, running is suspicious.
Which is fair. Like, you know, we don't run in real life because it's socially unacceptable. So.
Right. Yeah, it draws attention.
So much more efficient.
So much more efficient, yeah.
So I want to know, what did you do in the Russia one where they have a meeting in a room? There's
That's
like
that one.
Six people?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how did you handle that mission?
First off, I tried to shoot him through the keyhole.
Okay.
And it's super cool, and it didn't work. So then I opened the door, but didn't go in the room. Because going in the room alerts them, but opening the door and just standing outside doesn't. So I did that. I opened the door, stood outside the room, and put the reticle literally on the person I wanted to shoot's head. And the auto-targeting shot someone else. So then I resorted to walk into the room, scare everyone, and chase down the guy I wanted to kill.
Okay.
So...
silent assassin.
Wait, so wait.
I'm pretty sure Dennis would make a terrible assassin in watching his text.
To be fair, like, Hitman 1847 is the worst assassin. Because let's establish here. He is a 7-foot tall, bald dude with a barcode tattooed to the back of his head.
On?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
Sadly.
Who is incredibly pasty white and routinely, like, infiltrates, like, Latino gangs and, like, other things where he couldn't possibly.
Didn't they have barcodes on that girl on that show that was on Fox?
Alias?
No.
You're not narrowing it down, actually.
Oh, Dark Angel?
Yes.
Yeah.
That what? One. Alias was a spy. Dark Angel was, like, genetically modified.
Yeah. Sort of Jessica Alba. Yeah.
Hmm. Also, who assassinates someone with custom handguns? It's like, let's make it real easy for the ballistics people.
Oh, also, you could garrote someone if you could sneak up behind them, but if someone is walking, your sneak mode
yes.
is slower than their...
That is... When I say that 3 really improved, what I really mean is that your sneak mode is faster than walking.
When you say... when you say
that's
3...
That's literally what I mean.
When you say 3, do you mean Blood Money?
Blood Money,
Thank you, because I was going to have to look that up before I tried the next one.
So Blood Money is the next one, and one thing they fix.
Contracts is the next one, and then Blood Money.
Oh, is it?
And Absolution.
I never played Contracts.
Contracts is like an expansion pack for 2, almost. Oh. Like, it goes back and revisits, like, some missions around the missions you've already done in 1 and 2.
I like the fact that this all standing around the table has completely disappeared, the little recorder. Like, if you guys want to know what it's like when we hang out, this is
yes.
what it is. Like,
now, isn't it, the one thing, I guess I never noticed while I was playing, but watching Dennis, I nerd, is that in Blood Money and I don't know if in the other ones, it was much more like, here you're in a place and just like open world, have fun, like figure it out, explore.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas it seemed like in...
2,
thank you. you knew that was going to be a problem. In 2, it's much more like kind of pseudo-linear. Does that make sense? Where, you know, and it's much more like, oh, you have like 5 minutes to do that. You know, it's a lot less sandboxy.
Mm-hmm. Absolution felt a little bit more like that too.
Really?
Like a little bit more restricted than Blood Money did.
That's unfortunate.
The thing I liked about Absolution was that they had missions connect together.
Yeah.
So you would
Cool.
You would do like 3 assassination missions back to back, but it would be seamless. And so that was pretty cool. But I mean, with Hitman 2, some of them are kind of, you're just dropped in an environment and you have to kill someone. But I mean, you kind of get that in all the games.
Yeah.
See, I guess my favorite things in Blood Money were the ones where it was like, you know, like there's one, you know, one of them was a casino. It was literally like the guys just they're you know, gambling.
Mm-hmm.
And you can pretty much do whatever you want. You can, you know, go to the other building and snipe him. You can wait till he goes to the bathroom. It's, you know, real free for him. Or, you know, there's a wedding in the bayou and you could, like, toss people to the alligators.
He keeps
looking at me like I've played it. I haven't played it.
You don't poison the cake. You freaking put an explosive in the slice of cake.
You steal a stripper's uniform and then you hide inside of it.
Surprise! Dead.
Where's your hair?
Oh man, the last thought before you die is, where's your hair?
That was the sound of him speeding away on his fan, not on his moped.
Yeah. So is Hitman it? Is it?
There's no way to not stop talking about Hitman.
Yeah. I want to start playing some Jack. So
actually, one thing quickly, do you now understand why I always said Hitman is what I wanted Assassin's Creed to be?
Not after playing Hitman's 2, I have a feeling.
Blood Money is, in my opinion,
kind of the ideal.
Blood Money is good.
Yeah, it's really good. The third one or the second one in the trilogy, which is really
the. It is the next one you should play.
Blood Money. Okay,
it's 2 away, but the next one you should play.
Yeah.
Blood Money.
Yeah, Blood Money is the one that I'm really excited was in that trilogy pack.
Right.
Like,
well,
I'm happy to have that.
Right.
Yeah. Huh. David, how about you? What's your plan?
Sure. Well, this one's very unfortunately, going to be real quick. I, on a Steam sale, I bought and beat Gone Home. But literally anything I could say about the game pretty much would be a spoiler. The one thing I will say, and this is kind of very meta, is the big thing, or one of the big things that's kind of interesting to me, is some of the controversy. some of the discussion around it was its price point.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something that's interesting to see. I have to be honest, I kind of had two feelings. On the one hand, I can see why they charge, you know, a fair amount for it. Mm-hmm. Because there is a ton of detail to the, you know, to the fact that, like, I guess this isn't a spoiler, it takes place in a house. And, like, any... No!
Ben just pulled, like, a Wicked Witch of the West pose and he, like, melted. It's pretty great, you should have seen it.
Like, any appliance or light or whatever in the game uh-huh. is, like, actually plugged into an electrical socket. Mm-hmm. And, like, any, like, food item you pick up, actually, if you turn it around to the back, actually has an ingredients list. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a ton of details they put into it, so I can mm-hmm. totally understand why they charge for it. I feel like, though, it's one of these unfortunate things where that is the little something extra that makes mm-hmm. a game, you know, art or classic as opposed to just all right. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, at least personally, that's not something I would be willing to pay $10 for. So it,
so the entire game is $10?
The game is $15. I paid $5.
Okay.
And what I'm saying is the difference, I guess what I'd say is it is sort of games as art. And I'd say if you have a art budget, it is definitely worth your money. However, I unfortunately have an entertainment budget, and it is not worth $15 from an entertainment budget standpoint, if that makes sense.
I mean, it's probably a bigger discussion why that's a distinct... Well, like why those two things are distinct, because, you know, I see both art and entertainment as being ephemeral things that impact me in some, you know, substantial way. You know, like, oh, change the way I think about something or take me on a ride or an emotional experience.
Yeah, I guess what I more mean is, like, video games to a large degree are my entertainment, and I try to budget for, like, say, one or two video games a month.
Mm-hmm.
So when I, you know, I'd be gone home in 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm playing one game a month, as my entertainment, that doesn't work. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, like, as my, like, art in terms of, like, oh, I want to read a good book mm-hmm. or go to the museum or something like that, like, that would definitely be worth it in my budget. Yeah.
Though, like, the way you're stating it actually, like, unlocks a different way to look at this, which is how do you, you know, establish what the value of a thing is?
Right.
Is it how much value was put into it or how much value do you derive from it?
Sure, right. Sure.
So you were.
You guys are going deep.
Sorry.
Yes,
sometimes that
do.
Happens.
So, yeah. So if you get 5 hours of playtime out of it, and it costs $15, then so comparing it to like a $60 game, would you pay? Do you feel okay paying $60 for like a 20-hour experience for a game?
Generally,
how much
no.
For your Dragon's game.
I paid full price, so $60.
You're talking 60 plus hours based off of how much you were talking. Yeah. So
right.
Price per minute.
It's a lot of games.
and yeah, and so that's my thing. It's like I tend to buy games that have very long gameplay plays. Yeah, you know, I tend to do a lot of like MMOs and you know, open worlds and stuff like that. Part of that is again just because of my budgeting. So I guess my point is, if you can budget it, this is definitely a game that's worth your time and worth the money. However, if you can't budget it, it unfortunately is a game that you conceivably couldn't budget.
Yeah. But like it sounds like that's another way of saying, like, go into it with your eyes open.
Yes,
knowing what
exactly.
to expect.
Exactly.
I think that anybody who hasn't played it probably knows.
I agree. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, which isn't to say that what you just said isn't valuable, but
sure,
like,
sure.
But just reiterating for everybody in the audience, like, it's a good game. Check it out.
Yeah, it's...
Especially...
It's...
on sale and stuff.
Yeah, it seems to be similar to Portal, right? Where it's like everyone's like, good game, but it's don't expect a full length game out of it, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And as Portal 2 showed, a full length game out of it probably wouldn't improve it.
What?
Sorry. I think Portal 2 is way too long.
Yeah, I still have not beaten Portal 2. As I've said, apparently once you get the Portal gun, you forget how to open doors.
You don't need to open doors.
I like Portal 2 playing.
Yeah.
The other thing, I made my decision. I got Far Cry 4.
Cool.
I feel like we need to go a little bit fast, but it's definitely has some really good points into it. The main villain in it is really, really good. Voss from Far Cry 3 was really good. Mm-hmm. I'd say this guy's maybe even better.
Okay.
His name's like Pig on Men, and he sort of, you know, takes definitely a lot of inspiration from Handsome Jack in terms of a lot of his, like, role in the game. It's just kind of to, like, do commentary and talk to you over the radio between missions. But kind of the big conceit with that is he, once you're... You know, the big thing with it is, unlike the previous game, you go into this situation and you're this, you know, you're the son of, like, the guy who established the Resistance movie. Yes, you're a movie star. Movement. So you're basically a celebrity. You're, like, a national hero. And so it's a thing where, like, everyone knows you and you don't even know you're famous. Mm-hmm. So it's very much, he basically wants to be your friend, wants you to be on his side. And he sort of just blatantly ignores the fact that you join up with the Resistance and are fighting against it, him. So it'll just be things where, like, he'll call you up and be, like, asking your opinion on, like, hey, I just noticed, like... We're in the middle of this crazy civil war, but there's these thousands of candles all over the country that get lit every morning. Who do you think it is that lights all these candles? So, like, he literally will just, like, call you up and start talking to you about things. And so it's really, really well done. He's kind of has that sort of obliviousness. Mm. The other thing that's funny is you see a lot of his propaganda, and I would almost compare it as it would be like if the Third Street Saints, you know, kind of use their MO towards, like, a Kim Jong-il-esque, like, propaganda campaign.
Okay.
So, for example, one of the things he's apparently done is he built a supercomputer in order to beat the country's master at their equivalent of chess.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just this thing where, like, his dastardly campaign to oppress the people was to build a supercomputer so he could hurt their self-esteem by beating them at board games. It's this sort of thing where, like, he is kind of evil, but his... Yeah.
He's voiced by Troy Baker, isn't he?
I have no idea.
I'm pretty sure he's voiced
There's
by Troy
no
Baker.
No way. That is not fair.
Yeah. What? That Troy That's... Baker got another role?
Troy Baker is the...
What the new Nolan North?
The new Nolan North, yeah. That's unfair.
It's basically he's in the game somewhere. It's just which character is voicing. Yeah.
So the other thing that's kind of cool is you have two faction leaders for the rebel faction. I don't know the names. There's a male and female faction leader. The female faction leader is basically a progressive, but is also a pragmatist. Whereas the male faction leader is a, you know, once the traditional, you know, traditional Nepalese culture, which unfortunately not exactly real, progressing to terms of, like, views of women and, you know, some of these other things, but on the other hand is the idealist.
Yeah.
So it creates this really cool dynamic where, like, you know, yeah, the, you know, feminist lady, you know, wants to, you know, women have rights, stuff like that. On the other hand, she's completely all right with hey, we need money, so we're going to capture the drug fields and, you know, just start selling drugs to support the thing.
It's a little bit of an inversion of the way it usually goes. And,
yeah.
You know, any narrative, but video game narrative specifically.
Yeah, and it's also kind of cool. I've never had a game before, like, chew me out and guilt trip me for destroying a drug field instead of monetizing them. But, like, it part of it is it's really well written to where it really affects you. Like, you go and complete that mission, and then she calls you out. And it's like, yeah, that's fine, but we now can't afford you know, medicine for the kids. So I hope you're happy.
Yeah. Well, it keeps it interesting, so it's not completely binary.
Right, exactly. So, overall, it's really good. Unfortunately, your main character is incredibly poorly written. He basically has no personality whatsoever. I think part of it's, unfortunately, the writing is every situation he's in, it's basically him kind of being, like, hesitant and uncomfortable with the situation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really unfortunate, but kind of that's how it's written. So,
Yeah, from what you described, it sounds pretty good, so this might be the next game that I pick up.
Yeah, it's yeah.
Are there improved mechanics from Far Cry 3?
There definitely are. The biggest one I notice is you can now, any one-handed secondary gun, so like mostly like pistols, sawed-off shotguns, things like that, can now be shot while driving a vehicle.
Okay.
Which is, a fairly standard mechanic, but it's completely different when you're driving in first person.
Mm-hmm.
So it's literally like, you have to take your eyes off the road and, like, lean over your shoulder and shoot at people that are behind you.
Yeah.
So that's cool because the, the vehicle you're in actually matters. So, like, if you're in a pickup truck, it's real easy to look out the rear window and fire over the bed of the truck. But if you're in a cargo van, you can't do that.
Hmm. Yeah.
The other interesting thing along with that is if you press the thumbstick, you'll actually either whatever road you're on until you reach a fork or wherever you have a waypoint to, you'll automatically follow the road while you can shoot at people.
That's good.
Take note, Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah,
It's really good. They really turn up the auto aim so when you're doing that. So it's really set up to make that succeed.
Yeah.
So.
Sounds good.
Cool. Yeah. Far Cry 4.
Good stuff.
Nice.
Wrap it up, motherfuckers!
Yeah, we're going to be hopping onto stream here. Why don't I just put off mine until next week? How's that sound?
Did you not go?
No,
I thought you went.
No, I was.
Oh, you talked about Dragon Age Inquisition.
Yeah, like with you guys. I would like to have more time to talk about Legend of Zelda: Link Between Worlds, but I don't want to postpone our delightful streaming event. So, how about this? I'll talk about this at the beginning of next week. Not the very beginning, but like first time next week.
Okay.
That cool? Right. Yeah. Awesome. So, you guys ready to button it up?
Yes.
Oh, it's not your turn.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. We're all staring at Ben.
Let's zip it up.
Okay, cool. So that was level number 88, I think. Yeah, let's say that. Thank you for putting up with any audio glitches here. We're recording this under different circumstances, but I assure you we've had a great time doing it. We hope that you have had a great time listening. I also hope that everybody has had a fantastic and safe New Year. And we look forward to doing more stuff here in 2015. I don't want to belabor the admin stuff, so you know the usual things. Facebook, iTunes, Twitter. We're going to hit all of our Twitter stuff at the end here. I can be found at Cole Ross. I've been Cole Ross. At Cole Ross. There we go. All right.
I've been Dennis Furia at D Furia.
I can be found at MoneySmith777. But only on Tuesdays.
Jen?
Oh, I'm at J Furia.
Okay.
I'm Ben Merkel at Merkelizer.
And until next time, just stay critical path, Jack.
Johnny.
Safe road.
Damn
safe road. Safe road.
No.
Safe for Johnny.
Critical bad Johnny. No. I fucked up.
Do like in 24 where you, you know, run it through the computer and turn completely in compliance.
I can't enhance it.
Yeah. Just click the enhance button.
I think you of all people would know like resolution, like what that means and what that signifies.